The title, The Pandavas Retire Timely, text number 12. Sulapani, one who has trident in his hand. Vishmapita, astonished. Sagirija, along with the daughter of the Himalaya mountain. Astram, weapon. Adat, awarded. Nijam, of his own. Me, unto me. Anyapi, so also of those. Cha, and aham, myself. Amuna, by this. Eva, definitely. Kaleverena, by the body. Prapta, obtained. Maha Indra Bhavana, in the house of Indra Deva. Maha, great. Asana Artham, half elevated seat. So translation. It was by his influence only that in the fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planet in this body, this present body, and was allowed a half elevated seat. So we repeat the translation effectively. It was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered the respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half elevated seat. So we read the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Purport. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, were pleased with Arjuna. The idea is that one who is favored by Lord Shiva or any other demigod may not be necessarily be favored by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Ravana was certainly a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he could not be saved from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, and there are many instances like that in the histories of Puranas. But there is an instance where we can see that Lord Shiva became pleased even in the fight with Arjuna. The devotees of the Supreme Lord know how to respect the demigod, but the devotees of demigod sometimes foolishly think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no greater than the demigods. By such a conception, one becomes an offender and ultimately meets with the same end as Ravana and others. The instances described by Arjuna during his friendly dealings with Lord Krishna are instructive for all who may be convinced by the lesson that one achieves all favors simply by pleasing the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whereas devotees of the worshippers of the demigod may achieve only partial benefits, which are also perishable, just as the demigods themselves are. Another significance of the present verse is that Arjuna, by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, was able to reach the heavenly planet even with the selfsame body and was honored by the heavenly demigods Indradeva being seated with him, half elevated. One can reach the heavenly planets by the pious acts recommended in the Shastra in the category of fruitive activities. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.21, when the reaction of such pious acts are spent, the enjoyer is again degraded to his earthly planet. The moon is also on the level with the heavenly planet, and only persons who have performed virtues only, performing sacrifices, giving charity and undergoing severe austerities, can be allowed to enter into the heavenly planet after the duration of the life of the body. Arjuna was allowed to enter into the heavenly planet in the selfsame body simply by the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, it is not possible to do so. The present attempt to enter into the heavenly planet by the modern scientists will certainly prove futile, because such scientists are not on the level of Arjuna. They are ordinary human beings without any assets of sacrifice, charity or austerities. The material body is influenced by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion and ignorance. The present population is more or less influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, and the symptoms for such influence are exhibited in their becoming very lusty and greedy. Such degraded fellows can hardly approach the higher planetary system. Above the heavenly planets, there are many other planets also, which only those who are influenced by goodness can reach. In heavenly and other planets within the universe, the inhabitants are all highly intelligent, many, many times than the human beings, and they are all pious in the higher and highest mode of goodness. They are all devotees of the Lord, and although their goodness is not unadulterated, still they are known as demigods, possessing the maximum amount of good qualities possible within the material world. ओम अज्ञान निमरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेव तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कथामहि तदापि स्वपदम् जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव साधि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे कृष्ण दिस इज हेवी purport from Srila Prabhupada. So in the purport there are a lot of points to be noted. I could just grab a few. The first point Srila Prabhupada is saying that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is favored, if a devotee is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the demigods automatically get pleased with them. Pleased with him. But on the contrary, if someone is pleasing only the demigod, then that person may not be necessarily favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ravana, that Ravana is a big devotee, great devotee of Lord Shiva, demigod. Shiva is here, it is in the purport written that Shiva is a personality of Godhead. See, there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is a personality of Godhead. So Shiva is also God. Why Shiva is a god? Because Durga is a controller of the material world. Right? And Shiva is a husband, so naturally he becomes a controller. And hence he is a controller and enjoyer. He becomes a god. Many people in the material world are thinking they are god, but they are not god. They are tiny gods. Right? So that's the first point. Then the second point is Prabhupada clearly mentions that if someone is performing sacrifices, charity and austerity, then only he can attain the heavenly planets. So Prabhupada says the so-called persons, people going to the heavenly planets such as Moon and Mars, something they are trying now, it's not possible. Because he's saying the common man is in the mode of passion and ignorance. So when someone is in the mode of passion and ignorance, one cannot even get the animal, cannot even get the human form of life in the next world. What to talk about heavenly planets? This is after the birth, after the death. Right? So if someone is in the mode of goodness, then after they leave the body, then they have a chance of going to the heavenly planet. And that too, the purport Srila Prabhupada says, you go to the heavenly planet, you stay for some time, like a vacation. Right? And once you lose all the credits, pious credits, you come back to this world to suffer. That is how it works. Not that one can permanently go. Right? We have to change the mentality. One may think, okay, from here I'll go to heavenly planet, from there I'll go to Brahma's planet, and from Brahma's planet I'll go to Krishna's planet. It doesn't work like that. Right? After you take some money to Bali and enjoy there, and after it's finished, they will kick you out or you have to come back to your home. You cannot go from Bali to America, no? Because you ran out of money. So in the same way, everything is based on the good and the bad karma. Bad karma you suffer, good karma you enjoy. That is how it works. And so, Srila Prabhupada, the last point, he says that very, very important point, that ordinary persons, everyone, the material world, They are mostly in the mode of passion ignorance, not even goodness. Okay, note this point. Okay. Now, the Arjuna described here is full of worries and is morose. Why is that? This Arjuna is not that Arjuna we heard or we saw him. We didn't see basically. We can hear and then we can imagine. That is not the same Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In one sense, it's the same Arjuna, but his mindset was different. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was with him, and so he was able to defeat all generals. Bhishma, Drona, Karna, they are all great generals. Very easily he can defeat them. But the same Arjuna, here, right, here is greedy because Krishna is not with him. The Lord is absent here, and so he is feeling great anxiety and he is grieving basically. So, in the situation, but how come, you know, Arjuna is feeling like that? But sometimes, you know, we are so happy in this material world. Listen, we are also missing Krishna, but we feel so happy. No, we are not missing, we are happy, we are doing our job. Everything is going on perfectly. Why? Because in the three modes of material nature, it gives a false happiness that we are okay. This is the problem with the three modes of material nature, which Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport. Now, three modes of material nature will give a false happiness, which is not real. Real happiness can only be derived from Krishna. False happiness is existing in the three modes of material nature. That is why you see so many people are enjoying the material nature, right? They think there is some happiness. In fact, it is not. But they are enjoying. So, they don't need Krishna. But the person who realizes, right, who wants real happiness, then they can surrender to Krishna and they can derive transcendental happiness. So, Prabhupada is also talking about various aspects. So, one of the points what I thought was, the modern science, right, they talk about matter only. They don't know anything about the soul. They say that life comes from matter. That's the phenomenon, right? When you say modern science, means even materialistic scientists, isn't it? That's what they say. Life comes from matter. But we know from scriptures that life comes from life, isn't it? Life comes from life. And what determines the life? Guna and karma. Guna and karma determines the life. That is why Krishna has established a Varnashrama system. Varna and Ashrama. Right? For the people. So that from there, you know, the guna and the karma is established. And people have to work accordingly to their karma and guna. Now, this guna and karma actually originates from the three modes of material nature. In fact, that's the origin. The origin is three modes of material nature. What are they? It is the goodness, passion and ignorance. So, quickly, we'll talk about the three modes. Now, the mode of goodness is very, very elevating. It's very good, as it says, goodness, right? Some of the characteristics of the mode of goodness is austerity, self-control, patience, tolerance, humility. So sometimes we have to see whether we have got all this. They come under the mode of goodness. Now the mode of passion means managing, controlling, competition, competitive spirit, you know, attachment. This is the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance means laziness, sleep, opposite of goodness. Whatever I told as goodness, it's opposite. Not being tolerable, not being kind, not patient. These are all opposite. So, the three are there, right? And also, Krishna describes in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of material nature, that the mode of goodness, the activities, it looks apparently as if that there is a poison, right? It says that it looks like as if it's a poison in the beginning, but it is nectar at the end. So initially when we ask the devotees, you know, to chant, to come for Mangalarati or to do some service, they think, oh, it's boring, you know, it's not good like that. So this looks like a poison for them, but at the end you will get nectar. On the contrary, the mold of passion, right? It looks like a nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. Right? And mold of ignorance is poison for all. There's no point in talking about it. So how do the living entity, right, get shocked into the material energy? Right? See, the living entity, the Lord's and the Lord's spiritual energy, they both are superior in nature. Right? The Lord's material energy is inferior in nature. Now the superior living entity, when they come in contact with the material nature, right, the jiva identifies himself as a matter and tries to enjoy the material nature. So in other words, a living entity which is spiritual in nature is trying to enjoy matter, which is an incompatible situation. So when the living entity comes into the world, his consciousness is polluted. He gets impure consciousness. So with impure consciousness, he is trying to exploit the resources of the material nature. Constantly enjoying the material nature, for which there is a punishment. So basically this material world is said that it's like a prison house. So what do you do in the prison house? If you do a mistake, you get a kick. You do something, you get a slap. This is what happens. The material energy is treating everyone like this, but they don't mind. Do something on slap. That's how the material energy treats. But the Lord's superior spiritual energy is not like that. Right? So and also, before we go a little bit further into the superior energy, the material energy, Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, it is a Lord separated energy, which means it's a disconnected energy from the Lord. Krishna explains in chapter 7, Bhumi apo nalo vayu kam mano evacha ahankara iti yanne bhinna prakriti asata. So which means the Lord's material energy comprises of 8 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Lord says it is comprising of my separated energy. Right? That separated energy. But the Lord is still the controller, or still is acting according to the will of the Lord. But it is separated energy. Because the living entity, because they want to separately enjoy, the body is given, the senses is given. So with the body and the senses, they control and they enjoy. So they become tiny gods. That's what the world is like. Now, the living entity, as I said, which is a marginal energy of the Lord, if they choose, because free will is given. Now if the living entity, if it chooses to serve the material energy, then the material energy, Lord's inferior energy, take care of them. And it will push the person away and away from Krishna. This is the price you are getting if you are associating with the material energy. You will go away and away from Krishna. First is the mode of goodness, if someone is there. Then you go to mode of passion. Then ignorance. Then deep ignorance, animal. And like that, it will go on. 8,400,000 species. We can pick and choose whatever we want. The choice is given. But on the contrary, if a tiny insignificant soul, if he decides to come to Krishna and serve the Lord, then the Lord gives him shelter and he brings closer and closer to him. So this is the advantage of choosing the spiritual energy. Right? So if you choose the material energy, you are going away from Krishna. That's it, no chance for you. But if you choose a spiritual energy, you can come closer and closer and closer to Krishna. So that is why the Lord is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Traiguna Vishayaveda, Nishraiguna Bhavarjuna. He is saying, don't be in the material energy. Try to transcend and be situated on the transcendental spiritual energy. Because if you are in the material energy, you have to act on that and then you get problems. So better you always be situated on the spiritual energy, which is very safe for you. No problems, you know. Only when you know that you are the body, then there is anxiety and problem. If you know that you are a spirit soul, then there is no anxiety for you. Because you are always situated on the spiritual energy. So, what is the problem? The problem is the material energy. Isn't it? That's the main problem. So, the material energy means, Srila Prabhupada says, it is serving one's own senses. Material energy means serving one's own senses, which means it influences the mind. So, the mind is the problem between the soul and Krishna. So, we are the spirit soul. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So, what is preventing a soul to come to Krishna is the mind, material mind, which is influenced by the three modes of material nature. So, let us quickly see some of the characteristics of mind so that we know. See, if we know, if we are in the process of controlling the mind. If we know that what are the characteristics or what are the properties of something, it's easier to monitor and govern it. Right? So, mind, what are the characteristics? The characteristics of mind, okay? So it is said in Shastra that from the time immemorial, the mind wants to control all the senses. There are 10 senses, 5 working senses and 5 knowledge occurring senses. So the mind wants to control all the senses, but the mind does not want to be controlled. This is a property of the mind. Mind does not want to be controlled, but it will control all the, from the time immemorial this is happening. Right? And the second aspect of the mind is that it is sankalpa and vikalpa, which means when you are seeing, right, you constantly accept something and you reject something. Sankalpa, vikalpa, accepting and rejecting, and constantly that is going on. How that is done? Through the senses. So the senses picks up a sense object. I like this, I don't like this. I like this, I don't like this. So constantly this is going on. You may think I'm fine, but this is going on. So we have to think about it. What's going on? Constantly. Something is going on in the mind. Constantly accepting or rejecting. So, a wise person, what does he do? He picks up a spiritual sense objects. Right? See, the senses are there. The senses are attracted to the sense object. So what you do? Preferably, most conveniently, you should choose spiritual sense object. Maybe preferably seeing Krishna through the eyes rather than seeing something else. Hearing Krishna Katha, eating prasadam, talking, chanting about Krishna, serving the Lord, associating with the devotees. So all these are sense object you are picking for your senses, spiritual sense object. So if you pick up the spiritual sense object, what happens? They go through, because the senses are the windows for the soul. It goes and the soul awakens. See, you no longer a body. If you do devotion service, if you pick up a right sense object, spiritual sense object, it goes, right? And the soul is awakened. And you realize you are a spirit soul and you have got nothing to do with the material world. Right? This is a phenomena or the practice which Krishna is giving us. So we should be wise enough to pick up the right sense object. And the other aspect of the mind is that monkey is like a monkey. The mind is like a monkey. That's why Krishna says it has to be controlled. Why it is a monkey means it keeps on jumping from this to this, this to this, because we may like something. For example, I may like this cover, and within the next 5 minutes, I don't like it. I hate it. Why is that? The same mind. 5 minutes back, I liked this. After 5 minutes, I don't like this. The very same mind is rejecting that. This is how we are. We are put in that state. So it's very, very precarious state. Because Krishna again says in the 18th chapter, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Manasastani Indriyani Kashastani Akas. The living entity suffering in this material world with the 6 senses, which includes the mind. So we are basically suffering. Because the senses are constantly taking the sense object and it is contaminating, polluting the mind, and we are getting more and more entangled, and because of this, suffering. If you enjoy, you have to suffer. So that is how it works. So, what is the difference in mentality between a devotee and a non-devotee? How does he think? A devotee, a non-devotee thinks, why I am not getting pleasure from this activity? Why I am trying this activity, why I am not getting enough pleasure But a devotee, he thinks, why did I do this in the first place? I should not have done that in the first place. This is how a devotee feels. So in terms of mentality, this is what is happening. And also, in the presence of the spiritual nature, spiritual energy, one cannot enjoy. One cannot enjoy. We can see that he cannot enjoy because Supreme Lord is enjoyed. But in the absence of spiritual energy and in the presence of material energy, one can enjoy. So if you see the person enjoying, they are in the material energy. So material energy means enjoyment. Spiritual energy means you enjoy, but with the Lord. Material energy means enjoyment for the body. Atmendriya Preeti is Kama, Krishnendriya Preeti is Prema. Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very good verse is telling. Anything you do for this body, sense enjoyment is Kama, lust. But anything you do for Krishna is Prema. And the other thing which the material world is creating is falsity. It gives you a false enjoyment. It tells you that you are enjoying, but it is false. A false kind of enjoyment. How do we know that it's false? Because in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that this material world is a reflection. It's a reflection of the real tree. The real tree is in the spiritual world. This is a reflected tree. The reflected tree, what is happening? The root is upstairs, upwards, and the branch is down. So this is a reflected world. So how can you find happiness in a reflected world? For example, I'm trying to eat apple from a mirror. There is apple there. There's a reflection is there in the mirror. I'm trying to great difficulty, I'm trying to snatch it and take it. This is not going to happen, isn't it? It's illusion, isn't it? So this Maya gives an illusion. Yes, there is enjoyment with the body. Enjoy, try. This is a Maya's dealings, how it works. But actually it is falsity. There is no enjoyment there. The real enjoyment is with the soul. So a living entity is looking for enjoyment in the wrong place. That's our problem. You are looking for enjoyment in the wrong place. The real happiness is with Krishna. But you are looking for the wrong place. For which, again, there is suffering. So how one can come to reality now? We have talked about illusion and reflection out there. What is reality? Reality means serving Rishikesha, master of senses. So if Krishna as a master of senses, if he serves, our tiny senses are satisfied. It's really a beauty, isn't it? The master of senses, Rishikesha, if you serve him and if his senses are pleased, then our tiny senses will also be pleased. There's no extra effort one has to take. So if you do devotion service, automatically our senses are served and satisfied. Alright. The other aspect of the material world is that it's a place of duality. So this duality is again caused by the three modes of material nature. Because of, mainly by the mode of passion and ignorance. Passion. So where there is attachment, the duality comes. Right? Competition. Attachment, you know. So, and moreover, we are affected by it, right? For example, if you see the person, you know, who is going for it, watching the games, you know, cricket or whatever maybe. Now, the players are playing, and this team, you know, the team which they like, if they win, immediately they are happy. But if the team loses, they are upset, right? So they are identifying with the team. But in fact, who is playing game? The players are playing. Right? The person who is watching or witnessing, he has got nothing to do with the players, right? He may not be even the relatives. Right? See, I see a player, oh, they put one goal, Europe. Oh. And then Australia lost. Morose. But those the players are doing. So in the same way, the three modes of material nature also affects us. We are in that, you know, because it's like a tsunami, three modes of material nature. It will push us. And if you are not holding to a solid post, you will go along with that. And that is our sadhana. So if the sadhana is not tight, is not proper, then you will be pushed along the three modes of mental nature. That's why Krishna has dedicated one full chapter for the three modes of mental nature. One full chapter is dedicated. How the three modes of mental nature are binding a living entity, and how one can get liberation from the three modes. If you get liberation from the three modes, you are liberated. Because that is the one which is really binding the living entity, you know. And if it is loose, then you can go. Right? The easiest way is if you do devotional service, automatically you will be released. That's the easiest way. So, what we learn is, in whatever the situation, let it be anything, good or bad, always we try to take shelter of Krishna. In the material world, as we said, is a place of duality. So there will be problem. There will be happiness. So one should not be jubilant, you know. When there is a happiness, yes. Problem. No. Always, you know, there will be happiness and distress. Like the summer and the winter season, Krishna explains. Now it is summer, everyone is out. After 3 months, no one will come out of the house. Summer and winter season. So, we see that Krishna's hands in everything. This is an arrangement of the Lord. The Lord has arranged like this. Even if it is a happiness or distress, it is not that devotees always get happiness arranged by the Lord and the distress is arranged by the material energy. It's not like that. Any situation, yes, this is a Krishna Kripa. We take it and it becomes easier. No attachment. Everything goes on. It will go on. Everything will go on. It's all planned. And what is your tiny, insignificant role? What is the role of that? It's nothing. So, that is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for a devotee, I am never lost to him. He is not lost to me. So, Krishna is never lost to a devotee. A devotee is never lost to me. We see that more in Srila Prabhupada. Right? Someone may think, or we may at least, we may think, or I may think sometimes, oh, Srila Prabhupada, only at the age of 50 he took initiation, 60 he became very Krishna conscious, and then 70 he came, and then, you know, the Krishna, Srila Prabhupada established. No. Srila Prabhupada was a devotee right from the beginning. How do you know that? Because this is an extract from His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. He had given a small sketch about Srila Prabhupada young age, you know. What happened? When Prabhupada was about 19 years old, you know, he got married, you know, at an early age. That's the system in India where marriages take place quite early, you know. The boy may get married at the age of 18, 19 or that, and the girl somewhere around 13, 14, something like that. So Srila Prabhupada was also under the system, olden times in India, and this was around in 1915, around the time, when Srila Prabhupada was around 17 to 19 years, approximately. Prabhupada got married. And at the time, Second World War. So the Germans are putting bombs in India. Right? Main capital cities, you know, Calcutta, you know, Germans. Because English people were there. Right? So they're putting bombs. And Prabhupada was in Calcutta. So at the time, Prabhupada says that his wife was making kachori. Kachori, you know, this is the favorite food of Srila Prabhupada. And he has also invited his friend. So the friend, Srila Prabhupada, the friend was there, right? And Prabhupada was, in fact, saying, I believe, he could hear the bomb, you know, everywhere bombs. How long it takes. And this friend, then Prabhupada said, okay, my wife is making, just wait for some time, we'll have kachori and you can go. Then this friend said, no, I'm going because bomb is there. Then Prabhupada asked him, what are you going to do? No, we have got a bunker. Bunker is a place where, you know, to avoid, you know, you go underneath the ground or something, so that you can avoid the bombs and you will be safe. So he said, I've got a bunker, I'll go and hide there and I'll be safe. Then he said, do you want to come? I can accompany. Prabhupada said, no. He said, my wife is making a chachori, I'll eat that and I'll be okay. Okay? Now, later on, Prabhupada says a very interesting point. He said, because my wife was making, doesn't mean that I want to eat anything, but he's saying that I was thinking that the bomb is also the act of the Lord. See, Prabhupada saw the bomb as an arrangement of Krishna. So he was thinking, I believe, okay, if you want to kill me, fine. If you want to save me, fine. Prabhupada was saying, what a high realization, huh? At that young age, you know. So this is Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotee of the Lord. Throughout the age, throughout his life, he was Krishna conscious. So it's not that, you know, that Prabhupada was only Krishna conscious, at the end he becomes suddenly a pure devotee. You know, all the time. So this proves, right? See, when something happens good, definitely we say, oh, that is Krishna's hand. But something bad happens to us, do we think that Krishna has got a role to play? We don't take it. But this is a pure devotee. In the time of crisis, he has attributed that to Krishna. That is a devotee. So, in whatever situation, we'll try to constantly think of Krishna, but it is not easy. One has to practice. It's not at all an easy phenomenon. One has to practice. Now, and finally, the last point is, we should not worry about the temporary material environment or arrangement. Temporary, it's temporary. Because the life is short anyway. We see sometimes, you know, even insects. What happens? There will be an insect. Another insect comes and gobbles that. And the bird comes and takes an insect. What is the lifespan? They cannot even plan their life. They come out of the house and they grab. They finish. And the mosquitoes, you know, it lives for only a few days. In that it will be born. It lives. It makes a family. It has children and it dies. But when we look at the mosquitoes, we think, we have got a lifespan. But the demigods, when they look at us, it is like Indra lives for, our 1 year is Indra's 1 day. So if someone is living for 70 or 80 years, it is 80 days of Indra. Just 80 days of Indra is a demigod. Because Arjuna says that he went to Indra in the translation. So Arjuna went to Indra. So Indra is there. So Indra, 70 days is Indra is there, we have already finished our life. And it's 70 seconds for Lord Brahma. 70 seconds, our life is over. We make so much of arrangement. So, this is what our life is. And finally to conclude, as normally I conclude with a story, so that it goes deep into your head. The story is, good or bad, who knows? That's a story. So what happens? There was once, very interesting story, but short. There was once a person in a village, right? He's an elderly character. He had a son also. Right? Now what happened? He had a horse, and I don't know, maybe some might know it, but anyway, it's worth listening to. He had a horse. Then what happened? One day the horse went out of the village. Then all the villagers, they said, bad luck, bad luck. And this person said, good or bad, who knows. Then after 1 month, the horse came back with a lot of horses. Then, everyone villager said, good luck, good luck. He said, good or bad, who knows. Then after some time, he had a son, right? His son climbed on the horse and he went for a small expedition, okay? And in that episode, the son lost a leg. Then immediately the villager said, bad luck, horse came. He said, good or bad, who knows. Then after, because the son was hurt, he had a bandage and he was sitting. Now after a few days, there was an announcement from the government that the army wants all young people to go and fight for the country. Then everyone said, oh, bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. He said, good or bad, who knows. Then all the persons, young guys, they were taken and this fellow was left because his leg was broken. Then again after some time the government announced, we are going to give compensation money, you know, because we grabbed it. We are going to pay a lot of money to each of the villagers. Then they said, good luck, good luck, good luck. He says, good or bad, who knows. Then after some time, all the people, they went for a fight and everyone lost their life. Then they said, bad luck. He said, good or bad, we don't know. He said, who knows. So, what we learn from this is, there are good times, there are bad times too. Right? How we see, that is important. Right? We have to see, perceive. Everyone has to see. Everyone has got a mind. Right? It is through the mind we see, it is not through the eyes. We see through the eyes, but it is a mind. Through the mind we see what it is. So, how we perceive things, it can be taken in a easy way or a tough way. You can ruin the whole day. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. This has happened to me. Okay. Or, alternatively, okay, Krishna's arrangement. What you can do? As Srila Prabhupada says, Ravana is a big devotee of Shiva. When Krishna wanted to kill him, what can you do? Parvati is saying, your devotee is going to be killed. What are you going to do? He said, I cannot do. If Krishna wants to kill him, fine. What can I do? Lord Shiva is saying. So when Lord Shiva can say that, we will try to, you know, place ourselves humbly into the hands of Krishna so that we are not troubled. So we'll stop here. Is there any question, comments, corrections?
What do you mean with asana in the last word?
Half elevated seat.
So how is it, what is the importance of the half elevated seat?
Arjuna went to Indraloka. You know, Indra called him for to accompany him for a fight, and then he saw the meeting. Now, Indraloka is meant only for Indra. But he gave a seat to Arjuna. He shared his seat. So he can elevate his seat. Lord Shiva or Indra? Then he...
Shiva.
Shiva, okay, Shiva. So it should be, if he gave a seat to him, so it is an elevated position. So they did not give him completely. They shared a seat with him. So it's half elevated.
Shared
with a demigod. Whoever the demigod is, it could be Shiva or it could be Indra. So they share with a demigod. So demigod is a demigod. Maybe the one, what?
There was some confusion. It's not that Lord Shiva suddenly had an elevated seat. It was Arjuna who is the son of Indra.
Ah. So it was Arjuna who?
Arjuna who suddenly had an elevated seat. Prabhupada explains in the Prabhupada that it was Arjuna who was visiting the abode of Lord Indra. In his self-same volume, he's explaining how by Krishna's mercy, even a devotee can go to the heavenly planet in his self-same volume by Krishna's mercy.
Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi.